Good evening. How many knew what a eubula was? Y'all did? When Ellen told me this morning that when he came into class, that Richard was feeling very ill, had the temperature, and that his eubula was on his tongue, I was trying to figure out, what in the world is that and what happened? You know, is that part of the earlobe and how did it get in there? I don't know. But I guess he has something called eubulitis, that it's a virus, and it's a very uncomfortable, and obviously if he's having the chills and the temperature, he is where he needs to be. He had a great lesson planned for this evening with PowerPoint, and Ellen said that he was really excited about presenting it, and so maybe next week he will be able to do that. In the meantime, this afternoon I spent some time preparing a lesson, but I want to begin, as we often do on Sunday evening. We have a little bit of period where we get some feedback, and I hope that you are in a feedback mode. I have a couple of questions I wanted to ask, and I hope that you feel free enough to answer these. And it's not like a right or wrong question. This is not a test, but just to get our minds going, and I want to get into some scriptures, especially an incident that happened in the book of Luke. But I'm wondering, for any of you, sometimes I think especially of those who are like me, who were not raised in church, maybe didn't hear about it until later in our life, some point as a young adult, maybe an older adult, and we were involved in other denominational Christianity. But this could apply to those of you raised in the church. What were the hardest teachings in the Bible, especially in the New Testament and the Church of Christ, for you to accept? Did you came in and you heard these teachings either by a preacher, a Bible class teacher, or you're reading and you're hearing these things, and you just think, wow, I mean, that seems strange. That's kind of hard to accept. Another way of saying it, maybe what commandments or teachings gave you the biggest problems or struggling in accepting them as teachings, not necessarily by abiding by them, but that you thought, that just doesn't sound logical, or it just sounds strange. Are there any teachings or commandments in the New Testament that you really have problems believing in? You know, questioning whether they even make sense. They may not seem beneficial. They may not just seem wise or practical. Are there teachings and our commandments that you just don't see the purpose for? I wonder, maybe they just don't apply to us today. So that's a lot of ways of trying to hone into one kind of question from a lot of different directions. Does it make sense to any of you? Are there any of these things you'd respond to that you hit yes? Love your enemy. Boy, doesn't that just go counter to our nature? What does that mean? I've had people often in study bring that one up. Love my enemy. And of course, we have to do some study to get the proper context for that. But how many of us feel warm towards people we would identify as an enemy? So that's a huge one. Any others? Any things? Maybe, yes. Okay. That's huge. It almost seems contradictory to us as Christians. What do you mean, be willing to leave even your family? That can just seem, what's the purpose? What does that mean? That seems especially hard. Why do I need to do that? Anything else? Any teachings that just, maybe even today you're thinking, what in the world does he want us to do that for? Or how did he come up with that, Tim? Oh, wow. Cut off your hand. If your hand offends you. Anyone practice that? That's a hard teaching. So that tells you, I'm going to make sure that my hand does not offend me. You know what? Would you behave yourself? You know, my eyes. But it certainly tells us how important some things are, that would be a commandment to do. That would be a teaching and a response. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Anyone else find the concept that if people are lost, they would be separated in this horrific place of darkness and fire forever? for eternity. Anyone else have a little issue with that? I can remember hearing that. And it scared me so much that, you know, initially that was kind of what got me interested. I didn't want to go there. I better find out about whatever it is that will keep me from that. That is a terrifying thought for myself. It's a terrifying thought when I reflect on other people, that literally is the consequence. So that can be hard. Right. Because it talks that we're going to be accountable for everything. And you think, well, how in the world does he keep account of that? It talks about books being opened and giving an account for all these things. Thank you for that input, and hopefully it'll make sense as we go along. I'm going to be looking primarily, if you would, with me, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We see four fishermen called out as disciples. I'm going to read them, and then we'll go back to them. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Just before this, we saw that Jesus was beginning his ministry. He went to his hometown. He went to Nazareth, where he was known, and he went into the temple, and he was reading, and he read that scripture, that prophetic scripture, and he says, "Today this has been realized in his own people." That's why he makes this reference that a prophet is not accepted in his own home. They took him outside, wanted to throw him off the cliff, but it says he walked away. And as he's walking before he came to the scene, the Sea of Galilee, with people along the shore, the fishermen along the shore at the end of their fishing day. Word had gone all throughout the area. He was casting out demons and doing miracles. And so the word was out what he was doing. In verse 36 of 4, it says, "And amazement came upon them all, and they began talking with one another, saying, 'What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district." So these people, these fishermen and these others who are gathered there along this Sea of Galilee, they're aware of who he is, and now he comes. He walks up to men who are strangers, and you can picture the scene with the boats. Typically, they were sailboats with one mast, and these guys would go out, and they would lower nets, and they would fish throughout the night, catching the fish and dragging them in with their nets. Experienced, rough, hardy men's men, fishermen, rough-hewn, rough hands. And Jesus asked, "Can I be in your boat?" And typically, they would pull the boats in near shore. When they'd have an anchor, it was the rope tied around a large rock. And Jesus got out there, and he began teaching the people. And then he tells a fisherman. Let's go out. Let's go out and fish again. And thus we see this story begin to reveal itself. You know, Jesus charged his apostles to make disciples of all nations. And we carry that to the church today as our mission, our goal. He said, baptizing them, who? Baptize the disciples, the people who had a change of mind. And to do it upon his authority, as we see in Matthew 28, 18 through 19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what he commanded. We see in verse 20. So let me ask a question as we begin to dig deeper into this situation, this historical event there at the Sea of Galilee. Do you have the mindset of a disciple of Jesus Christ? I ask myself this often because I need to call myself back to it to remind me that there is a mindset and that I can get distracted and I can get off course. But what is the mindset of a disciple of Jesus Christ, and do I have it, and do you have it? Because I believe that the proper mindset of a disciple, the faithful mindset of a disciple, was displayed when Jesus called Peter. We see it here in these events. When Jesus was teaching here at the Sea of Galilee, Luke 5, 1 through 3, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone and were washing their nets. They were finished fishing. They were done with that. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little, and he sat down and taught. I believe when he responded by allowing Jesus to get in, he had the mindset of a disciple. He had already been hearing about this Lord. Was he completely converted? I don't think so, but he was on the road to that. And the events that happened helped convert him. But he did what he was asked to do. A stranger comes up, this man, the word had gone out, and he wants to get into my boat. I don't know him, but at that request, he allowed him in. I believe that the mindset of a disciple was displayed by Peter when he decided to let down his net. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. And then he made this statement that is so important to me because I want to claim this and live it. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Later, I think the mindset of a true disciple was displayed by Peter and others when they were told to lay down their nets, to be finished with that. Verse 10. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They left it and followed Jesus. Do you notice this unique mindset of a disciple of Jesus Christ? I believe again that we see this proper mindset in Peter's willingness to do the Lord's word because the Lord said it. In letting down the net, Jesus instructed Peter to let down his net. Luke 5, 4. Peter didn't think it would do any good, did he? Peter was an experienced fisherman. He was working with experienced fishermen. They had already done what they knew to do. They had caught nothing. Wouldn't a fisherman know more than a carpenter about fishing? Here this carpenter, Joseph's son, comes and tells him, you've got to go out again. We've done that. We've already tried that. So he questions that. He didn't think it was wise. He didn't think it made sense. Yet Peter said, nevertheless, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, we've already tried that. It didn't bear any fruit. We're experienced fishermen, and you're a carpenter. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Peter did it, even though he didn't think it made sense. Peter did it, even though he didn't think it would work. He did it even though it defied common sense to he and his friends. He did it even though it did not seem wise based on his previous experience, which was real. So what was the result of just doing the Lord's word? And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking. Can you imagine this? They get back out onto this boat. They start rowing out into the deep where they had been. What are they thinking? Well, it's this guy. He doesn't know anything about this. And yet their nets begin to be overfilled to the point of breaking them. They signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Guys, come on over here. This is exciting. If any of you guys, are fishermen, you know when the guy down in the other boat, he's reeling them in, what do you want to do? What are you using for bait? What's going on? I want to get to that spot. And they're calling them over. And they came and filled the boat so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he's seen this. He's seen something that is supernatural, isn't he? By faith in Jesus' word, he did something that made no sense to him, that he did not think would bear fruit. It wasn't wise, wasn't logical. And yet they have the biggest catch, the biggest reward. And it touches him, and he becomes aware that he is in the presence of deity. This is deity. This is at least the prophet. This could only happen from God. And all of a sudden, the presence of this, he's aware of, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be with him. And he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Have you ever been there? I have. To recognize, I am a fallen man, and you are such a precious, holy Lord. How can I be in your presence? And yet, the Lord uses this man based on not how good he was, but he was able to bring blessings because Peter said, upon your word, by faith, I will do as you say, whether it even makes sense to me. So the catch was overwhelming for one net and even for two boats. Here we see Peter became very aware of his own sinfulness. And here we see, I think, the proper mindset that I want to have as a disciple. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. By laying down the net as the Lord told them to do, he and his co-workers were just astonished. They recognized that because, I think, of faith in this Lord, there was fruit born that was beyond their capability of doing on their own. Isn't that awesome? You see, it's not all up to us. It's up to us to follow Jesus, to follow his commandments, whether we think they're important or not, whether we fully understand them or not, that if he tells us to do something that we say we will do, and you know what? He then, because of that faith, despite our weakness, our shortcomings, is able to bring tremendous blessings. And they were astonished. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, who's cowering, "Get away from me. I'm a sinner. I'm unrighteous. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of Jesus Christ. From now on, you will catch men." So Jesus reassured Peter and then called him and his partners, "Follow me." Did they have a choice to make again? Wait a minute. I'm in business. I have a family. I have partners. I have a boat. I have a life. Follow me. And you know, they did. And hasn't he told each one of us through his word the same thing? Follow me. Yeah, but wait, you know my shortcomings? I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy. In fact, I should sit in the back of the church building or someplace. I'm not maybe even worthy to gather. Don't be afraid. I will make you fishers of men. But I'm afraid. I'm not trained. I'm a fisherman. I'm this. I'm that. I'm something else. I will make you fishers of men. For you is to do what I tell you to do, to have that spirit of a disciple. And it, again, is more than just belonging to the church. Oh, how awesome it is to belong to the body of Christ, to be in the kingdom. But there is so much more than just merely kind of being there. It's the dynamic of becoming revolutionary. Turning from the way of the world in a revolutionary way and saying, "He is Lord. He is my Lord." And having an attitude that says, "Nevertheless, I will." And not only that, I want to know what you want me to do. So I'm going to be in your word. And I'm going to take advantage of the opportunities at times when we come together as a body to look and to study and to find out what does he want us to do? Because I want to know, because I want to do it. He is my Lord. And I want to be encouraged by others. Because like Peter, he was with other men who all knew their shortcomings. And yet he began to work with them. And they gave it all up. And he calls us to do that. It's a huge change, and we see it demonstrated by these guys. So we see it meant leaving behind a successful business and family. Peter, for a while, left his wife. In Luke 18:28, then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." Can we claim that? Oh, does that mean you have to walk away from your business? Sometimes it could. But it can certainly revolutionize the way you see your business and are involved with your business. And you see it as an opportunity to be a fisher of men. Every aspect of your life begins to change because you changed the mindset as they did. James and John left their father, Matthew 4:21 and 22. They left all and followed him. And it was the result of doing the Lord's work. And as a result of that, he kept calling them to greater service. As he can call each of us, as we grow and mature, to greater service. To see us mature, to see us be equipped because of Jesus. Luke 6:13-14. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. From them, he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew. They would receive greater rewards. Luke 22:28-30. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They gave up and they gained more. And any time we give up on behalf of Jesus Christ, Lord, my Lord, your Lord, He blesses us with more than we are capable of giving up. Isn't that dramatic, powerful? Such is the proper mindset, I believe, of a faithful disciple. This is the mindset that I pray to have, to strive to have, and I'm encouraged when I have others around me that I put myself in contact with, such as most of you who encourage me to live that way, to be there with me, to rebuke me when I need that, to encourage me, to lift me, to correct me, to teach me, to cheer me on, so that my mindset will be, when I come in contact with any of the teachings, yes, Lord, at your word, I will. Peter, together with James and John, illustrate the attitude that must characterize a disciple of Jesus. And that is a willingness to do whatever the Lord says. No conditions. Whatever the Lord says. No matter what the cost. Even when we don't understand why. Even when it may not seem wise to us or others, when it may not seem logical, when it may not seem like it's going to be a direct benefit, our willingness to do it the Lord's way, to submit. And in becoming His disciple, like Peter and others, like myself and maybe some of you, we may not think we can do any good. I don't have the talent. I'm not worthy. If you really knew my mind at times, my attitudes, my actions, if you knew the failures I don't want you to know about, you would never think I could be used. We might think we are too sinful, but Jesus calls sinners. Luke 5:8-32. Even the rankest of sinners can serve Him. Paul is an example of that. And under inspiration, he said, I am chief among sinners, and he knew his past. But he says, I'm putting that behind me, and I press on to the goal because of Jesus Christ. In the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Wow! Glad that's never been in the church. But wait a minute. And such were some of you. He's talking to the church. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God with us, is calling to sinners, and He'll pull them out. And they were in the church, and they're in the church today. People can be washed. They can be sanctified. They can become disciples and radically change their mind and follow Him and take on the mind of Christ to the degree that no matter where we come from, wherever we start, we have the attitude, yes, Lord. No matter what the obstacles, no matter what you say, how hard it is, nevertheless, Lord, I will do it your way. I will believe your word. I will never try to improve it. I will never try to change it. I will never try to add to it, subtract from it, do anything. I'm going to honor it. It is you who are deity. You are God. You love me and you called me. And I am eternally grateful. And so each day, each year that I'm allowed to live, I want to more and more be a disciple. The disciples were called Christians. The disciples were people who had a change of heart, a change of mind, and became submissive, truly to a Lord. And all of us have heard so many hard teachings. We talked about some of them, but nevertheless, they come from God, so they are truth, and we will obey if we have that mindset. Jesus must come before family. He must come before self. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That is strong. That is hard. That is the voice of God. There is a cost to discipleship, and he's saying, if we won't pay it, you are not my disciple. Who inherits eternal life? The disciples. Well, wait a minute, that's hard. That's severe. Yes, it is. And it was hard for Peter to have a carpenter he really didn't know, he had heard about, tell him to go out with all his experience in fishing, go down there and to follow that and to lay those things out, and he was blessed. And then right after that, after he thinks he's had the greatest fishing career of his life in that day, give all that up, come and follow me. Leave that. Have we been called to anything less? We must ask ourselves that. We must wrestle with that. We must pray about that. And we must develop that attitude and allow it to mature, to take seed, and to grow so that we become more and more this disciple. That he is the priority. His word is the priority. Not the rest of our life that, yes, we have. But our lives are different than those of the world, because if we are disciples, that is our priority. And it is not an easy teaching. And we do have a choice. And there are blessings that come from submitting, and just the opposite when we resist. Christ will reward sacrifice. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. We've given up everything. He meant this. They had every feeling that we do, every fear, every concern, every, where's the security? How do I take care of my wife, my children? How do I pay the bills, the mortgage? How to make my boat payment? How do I do all? They were people like us. See, we've left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life. In the age to come, eternal life. Do we have the mindset of a disciple? Do we have the mindset to become a disciple? Do we have the mindset to become a better disciple? To have that mindset that says, nevertheless, your will I will do. Take the gospel to all creation. Take it into your world. Take it into this community and Garden Grove and Westminster and every place we live. Do we have the faith? Yes, Lord, we will do that. And we will do whatever it takes to follow you to make that happen. You have my heart. You have my mind. When it comes to prioritizing my time, it's my service to you. And help me become a better servant. Make me into what you want me to be. Allow me to grow. Take me in my weakness and mold me and show your strength through me. Overcome all the fears, all the intimidation, all the lack of confidence, as I follow you. Because he says, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. It's conditioned on whether we're following him. That means, husbands, we are loving our wives the way he told us to love them, as Christ so loved the church. Whether you like it or not, whether it's hard or not. Children, all of us have roles. We need to find out what it is and do it because of Jesus, to have that attitude. He says a lot of things that we think will be very hard. Like taking the gospel to all creation. Like reaching out to the lost, no matter how lost and dirty they seem to be, no matter how strange their culture is to us. Such as laying up treasures in heaven instead of for self. Such as seeking first the kingdom of God. He may ask us to do things that we don't understand. Why do we have to be baptized for the remission of our sins? Why observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Why not take away time and rather than coming and be part of the assemblies? Why do we sing a cappella? All these things. Our attitude should be, it's because that's what the Lord desired. And whether I agree, want it, anything else, it doesn't matter. You said it, Lord. I will do it because you are Lord and because you will bless those who obey. And our labor will not be in vain. We can look forward as disciples to an awesome reward. And again, we cannot give up more than he will bless us with. So the question becomes for us, one that I think we need to challenge ourselves with regularly. Are we walking as disciples? As we approach every work, every discussion, every attitude, every planning session, every ministry, every opportunity, do I have the mindset of a disciple? To the degree that we do, God will bless us. He will bless us individually and he'll bless us corporately as we struggle and strive to become better disciples. Discipleship begins by hearing the gospel. These men had heard about Jesus. They had heard of the great works he did. This was deity. Jesus did raise the dead. He did show that he is supernatural. He did show that he was indeed the Son of God. And there's only one way to eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ, no other way. There is one church, the church of Jesus Christ. It's his kingdom, it's his body. And those who have the mindset will not resist, will not try to take it any other place other than when he leads us. But the first step is believing that and deciding he will be my Lord. And when you decide that, you get immersed for the remission of your sins by being buried in water and being resurrected to walk a new person, a true disciple, in as many days, long days or short days, that all of it is dedicated to Jesus Christ, his kingdom and his church and the service, and he blesses us. So if anyone has need and is not yet a disciple, we encourage you to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. He has changed our lives. He has saved us. It's an awesome life to be in his kingdom, and we encourage you to do that. And if you're struggling and you need help from the elders, from wiser women, we're here to help you as we stand and encourage you with this song.